paper and last year. Okay, I'm a PhD student. My name is Filippo Caruso, and I work in Scuola Normale Superiore in Pisa. Actually, these results have been generalized in this other paper, in a formal paper with Giovannetti and Olevo. This is Alpine. I will briefly recall the notion of open quantum systems and a nice property called weak divisibility, and I will apply these properties for bosonic Gaussian channels. Okay, usually in quantum mechanics, we consider a closed quantum system with the unitary and reversible dynamics. But however, in the real world, there are no perfectly closed quantum systems, except perhaps the universe as a whole. And then it's important to study the open quantum systems. An open quantum system is nothing more than one interacting with an environment. And due to this interaction, it suffers noise evolution, there is decoherence. And a decoherence is nothing more than entanglement between the degree of freedom of the environment and the degree of freedom of the systems. There are many ways of describing the open quantum system. The most physical one is the following. I can consider a quantum system initially in a state rho, and there is an environment in a state rho e, and there is an interaction between the system and the environment. After the interaction, the final states are rho prime and rho e prime. This is a sort of no evolution in space or in time, and it's a transformation that maps rho to rho prime. This transformation is called quantum operation, or equivalently quantum map, or quantum channel, or simply noise evolution. In this context, I can define the complementary map, this transformation phi tilde that maps the initial state of the system, rho, to the final state of the environment. In a more formal way, I have this initial state, rho tends to rho e, this is the unity interaction u dagger, and if I want to calculate the final state of the system, the output of the quantum channel, I have to trace over the environment. In order to obtain the final state, the output state of the complementary channel, that is the final state of the environment, I have to trace over the system. And there is another way of describing these quantum operations. It's called Krauss representation or operator sum representation. You can describe this quantum operation like this sum, aka called Krauss operators, and we have to impose some physical requirements. For instance, we need that the trace of the input state is equal to the trace of the output state, that is equal to 1. And it implies the completeness relation for the Krauss operators. Okay, during this noise evolution, there is a loss of quantum information, and there are many ways to quantify this missing quantum information. There are many definitions of quantum capacities. The standard quantum capacity is the following. This is the ratio of the maximum number of qubits over the number of uses of the channel. Roughly speaking, it measures how good is a channel to preserve the quantum coherence. It has this mathematical expression. Is the limit for n which tends to infinite, 1 over n, the supremum over any input density operator, and j is called coherent information. And the coherent information is the difference between the von Neumann entropy of the output state of the system minus the von Neumann entropy of the output state of the environment. And this is the von Neumann entropy, as you know. Phi tends to n means many uses of the channel, and actually we can consider any entangled input states. Okay, we can consider, let me introduce this property, this nice property called weak divisibility. Suppose to have a system in a state interacting with the environment in this other state. Of course, after the noise evolution, the final states are different from the input ones. And suppose that we are in this situation. You can recover the final state of the environment applying a physical transformation to the final state of the system. Then, roughly speaking, we are in the situation in which there is more information in the system respect to the one lost in the environment. In this case, the quantum channel is called weakly degradable. In the opposite situation, we have there is more information in the lost in the environment respect to the one contained in the system, and now we can recover the final state of the system applying a physical transformation, this one, to the final state of the environment. There is more information in this site. In this case, the channel is anti-variable. And in a more formal way, this is the quantum channel. This is the complementary channel. And this is the definition of weak degradability. You have to satisfy this relation. We have to find a physical map T such that this composition rule is satisfied. And the other definition is the anti-degradability. And now we have to find this other physical intermediate map such that we can recover the final state of the system applying a physical transformation to the final state of the environment. These two properties are complementary, and if the quantum channel is weak degradable, the complementary one is anti-degradable, and vice versa. Okay, suppose now that the environment is in a pure state. In this case, this property is called degradability, and it has been introduced by David Akeshore in this paper. And indeed, in our paper, we generalize this property for mixed environment. And indeed, you can see that here there is a pure state, a vacuum state for the environment. If the channel is degradable, it implies that the coin deformation is additive, and you can remove this limit in this expression. It's a good thing because up to now we know the quantum capacity just for a couple of quantum channels. It's very hard to calculate these quantum capacities. Now, suppose there's in the opposite situation in which the channel is anti-degradable. Suppose that we have Alice, Bob, and there's a Charlie who is monitoring the final state of the environment. In this case, we can prove that the quantum capacity is perfectly zero. And it's very easy. Suppose that the quantum capacity was greater than zero. In this case, after many uses of the channel, Bob has the same state of Alice. But because of this property, Charlie can have the same state of Bob. You have two copies of the same state, and it violates the no-cloning theorem. And for this reason, the quantum capacity is zero. Then, if you have an anti-degradable channel, you cannot use it to transfer quantum information. This property is invariant under unity transformation applied to the input or to the output states. This is the framework. Now, yes. No, okay, I call it the weak variable because it's a weaker concept respect to the other one. The degradability. You call it degradability when you have a pure environment. Weak degradability is for mixed environment. And the weak degradability is a weaker concept respect to the other one. Because you know you can purify the environment in a pure state. Degradability implies weak degradability, but the opposite direction is not true. Yeah. Now, I will consider these properties for bosonic Gaussian channels. I don't know if you are familiar in quantum optics. We can consider this an harmonic oscillator, a bosonic mode. And now, in this expression, this is the displacement operator. Mu is a complex variable in the phase space. A and the dagger are the annihilation and creation operators. Rho is a density operator, and K is called characteristic function. The characteristic function defines in a unique way the quantum state. You can define a Wigner function that is a sort of Fourier transform of the characteristic function. It's a quasi-probability distribution. And in this way, we can introduce a new definition of Gaussian states. A state is called Gaussian if and only if its characteristic function, or equivalently its Wigner function, is a Gaussian. That this expression, you have a quadratic form here. Without loss of generality, you can neglect the linear term. And you can see that in the quadratic form, you have the covariance matrix. And there are many examples of Gaussian states. For instance, the vacuum state, coherent state, thermal state, squeeze state, any ground state, or quadratic Hamiltonian. is Gaussian. Just to give you a counterexample, the Fock state is not Gaussian. In this way, we can define the Gaussian channels. Gaussian channel is a quantum channel that maps Gaussian state into Gaussian state. Or in other words, if the input state is Gaussian, the output is another Gaussian state. But of course, if the input state is not Gaussian, you can have a generic output state. These Gaussian channels are very important because they describe transmission of light through optical fibers, linear couplings between bosonic system interacting with quadratic Hamiltonians, random classical noise, B-splitter amplifiers, and squeezing transformation. You can describe almost everything that you can have in a quantum optics lab. Now, let me define the bosonic channels. A bosonic channel is a quantum channel in which the system and the environment are bosonic. We have one bosonic mode for the system and one bosonic mode for the environment. I describe the system with the annihilation and creation operators A and the dagger, and I consider B and B dagger as annihilation and creation operators for the environment. For the bosonic channels, I can prove that it's enough to consider the environment initially in a mixed state in order to have bosonic Gaussian channels. And it's easy to understand this fact because the characteristic function of the output is a sort of a product of the characteristic function of the input state. This one is the characteristic function of rho. This one is the characteristic function of rho e. And up to this linear map, you have the product of these two characteristic functions. Therefore, if the input state is Gaussian, you have a product of two Gaussians, and then the output is Gaussian. And for this reason, if you have an environment in a Gaussian state, you have a bosonic Gaussian channels according to the previous definition. Actually, K and KE are linear maps between the phase space, and Z is related to the imaginary parts and the real parts of mu, that is the complex variable in the phase space. If you switch from Schrödinger picture to the Heisenberg picture, the output displacement operator is equal to the input displacement operator up this linear map times the characteristic function of the environment up to that linear map KE. T means transposition. And now I want to describe this bosonic interaction between two bosonic modes, and they use the Bocculiupo transformations. And this Bocculiupo transformation can be written as a product of a matrix A and vector B that has this expression. And A is a symplectic matrix. There are two main classes of Bocculiupo transformation. One of them is the B-splitter. You have this matrix A. K is in the range 0, 1, and it's called the attenuation parameter coefficient or transmission coefficient. A and A prime refer to the system, and B, B prime refer to the environment. And in my graphical notation, I will express the input and output states in continuous line. This is the input, and this is the output, and this is the environment. There is no solution for the environment. And these ones are the Bocculiupo transformation for the canonical Bocculiupo transformation for the annihilation operators. Of course, they are canonical. And another important class is the amplifier. Now K is called amplification parameter, and is written as 1. It has this symplectic matrix A, and we have this this canonical transformation for the annihilation operators. And if you want to complete this classification, we have to consider the negative values for K. But it's possible to prove that in this case, we have the complementary map on amplifier with the coefficient 1 minus K. And 1 minus K, of course, is greater than 1. Again, let me stress that I express the input, the output state in the continuous line. And here, this is the complementary map, as you can realize, because it maps the initial state of the system to the final state of the environment. And, this is the transformation for the characteristic function, these two regimes. And these two devices satisfy these nice compositional rules. If you combine two B-splitter, you have another bespitter with coefficient k1 times k2. If you combine two amplifiers, you have another amplifier with this amplification parameter, this is the product of k1 and k2, like the bespitter. And if you combine an bespitter and amplifier, you have an bespitter amplifier according to the value of this product. If this product is less than 1, you have a bespitter. If this product is greater than 1, you have an amplifier. Now we want to analyze the degradability properties for the bespitter and the amplifier channel. Let me start from this relation. If you remember the first slide, the degradability properties correspond to verify this relation. We have to find this intermediate map T such that this composition rule is satisfied. And let me stress that, I represented the quantum channel in the red circle. This is the input, this is the output state. And I represented the complementary map in the green circle. Indeed, it maps the initial state of the system to the final state of the environment. We found this physical map. It's another problem because we want to impose some physical constraints to this map. We need a physical map, not just a mathematical quantum map. And we found this intermediate map that is another amplifier with coefficient k prime that has this expression, 2 times k minus k over k. And then we satisfy this relation, and we can and this relation is satisfied for any values of q greater than 1. Therefore, we can conclude that any amplifier is weak degradable. Roughly speaking, you can guess this result because in amplifier, you amplify the quantum information. And then there is much more information in the system than the one lost in the environment. And then you can guess that the amplifiers are weak degradable. Now we consider the bespitter. We start from this relation. And we find that this relation is satisfied only if k is in the range between 1 over 2 and 1. And we find this intermediate map, but this is another bespitter, this parameter k prime. And now k prime is in the range 0, 1. And then the bespitter with coefficient greater than 1 over 2 are weak degradable. Again, you can get this result because in this regime, the transmitted intensity is greater than the reflected one. But anyway, this property is not trivial. In the opposite regime, when k is less than 1 over 2, we verify this relation. Let's point out that now the roles of the red and the green circles are exchanged. Here is red, black, green, is green, black and red, because the relation this is the relation for the anti-degradability. We want to recover the final state of the system applying a physical transformation to the final state of the environment. Charlie has more information than Bob. We found this bespitter with this parameter k second, that is 1 minus 2k over 1 minus k. Therefore, the bespitter with k less than 1 over 2 are anti-degradable, and they cannot be used to transfer quantum information, because the quantum capacity is perfect zero, is null. OK. And we can generalize this result considering any Bogoliubov transformation, because what's the aim? We want to analyze this property for any bogosonic Gaussian channels. And in particular, I can consider this parameter Q. This is the difference between these two elements in the symplectic matrix of the Bogoliubov transformation. And Q corresponds to K in the previous slides. And in general, we can conclude that for Q less than 1 over 2, the bosonic Gaussian channel is anti-degradable with zero quantum capacity. When Q is greater than 1 over 2, the bosonic Gaussian channel is weak degradable. In order to prove it, we have to prove this equivalence. We verify that any bosonic Gaussian channel is equivalent to a B-splitter on amplifier, up to the squeezing transformations applied to the output states. But the squeezing transformation is a unitary operator, and since this property is invariant under a unitary transformation, we can conclude that any bosonic Gaussian channels is either weak degradable or anti-degradable. And these results have been generalized in this paper with Giovannetti and Olevo. I don't want to enter into these details, but we proved these properties for any bosonic Gaussian channels. And in particular, if you up to now, we have considered one model for the system and one bosonic model for the environment. But of course, we can have a larger environment with two, three bosonic modes. And this paper will generalize these results for generic environment, and we prove that any bosonic Gaussian channels is either weak degradable or undegradable, except this point. This point corresponds to this channel. It's called additive classical noise channel. And that is this expression. Rho is the input state, this is the displacement operator, and P is the probability distribution. Actually, it's a Gaussian distribution, and it's called Gaussian additivity additive classical noise channel. Except this channel, we have that any bosonic Gaussian channel is either weak degradable or anti-degradable. Let me say this other important result that is published in this paper. Suppose to have a channel, a generic bosonic channel, that is a composition of other two channels. One of them is an anti-degradable channel with zero quantum capacity. This composition rule implies that this initial quantum channel has zero quantum capacity. And suppose now that the initial channel is weak degradable. By using this trick, we can find the weakly degradable channel with zero quantum capacity. Because we know that we have proved in the first slides that the anti-degradable channels have always zero quantum capacity. Now we want to consider the weakly degradable channel. And by using this trick, we want to find the weakly degradable channels, but with null quantum capacity. And you expect this fact because if there is too noise in the channel, if you have high temperature, you destroy the quantum coherence, and the quantum capacity becomes zero. In the next slide, I plot the relation between the average photon number of the single environmental mode in a thermal state and respect to k, the parameter that I used before. When k is less than 1/2, we have proved that any bosonic channel is anti-degradable and it has zero quantum capacity. When k is greater than 1/2, the bosonic Gaussian channels are weak degradable. But you can realize that, of course, there is a lower bound, above which there is too noise in the channel. You destroy any quantum correlations. Because, of course, N0 is proportional to the temperature, if you want, to the noise. And then you expect to find a bound above which the quantum capacity is zero, because you destroy the quantum correlations between the system and the environment. By using the previous trick, we improve this lower bound for the quantum capacity. In the black line, I report the lower bound given by Olevo and Bern in this paper. And actually, we improve this bound with the red circle, with the red line. And then we can say that in the white region, the bosonic Gaussian channels are weak degradable, but they have zero quantum capacity. In the gray area, you can have weakly degradable channels, but they can have not zero quantum capacity. It's just a lower bound for the quantum capacity. Therefore, we have proved that any bosonic Gaussian, we have introduced this definition of weak degradability, generalizing the definition given by David Akishore, considering an environment in a mixed state. We have found that any bosonic Gaussian channel is either weak degradable or anti-degradable, and we have found a new set of channels which have null quantum capacity. Now, in the last 10 minutes, I want to talk about an ongoing project. Up to now, we have analyzed a continuous variable system. But the question is it possible to perform this analysis for finite dimensional system, for instance, qubits? And we have shown that Gaussianity implies weak degradability. But this property is true for finite dimensional systems. The answer seems to be yes, but in order to obtain this analysis, to perform this analysis, we have to introduce a definition of Gaussian maps for qubits. And a phase-based representation of a two-level quantum system, like done in bosonic case. And for this reason, we have to use the Grassmann algebra and the mapping between the annihilation operator and this matrix element. We have this characteristic function for a qubit. This is a displacement operator. But be careful, now xi is a Grassmann variable that satisfies the Grassmann algebra. And we can obtain this relation. Any density operator can be written this way. Or f is this operator. Now a and the DAGA satisfy the anti-commutational relations. And then we have that the characteristic function defines in a unique way the quantum state. If you consider a noisy evolution of a density operator, you have this map, you have a map from the initial characteristic function to the output characteristic function. And this noisy evolution can be written by using a sort of green function. We introduce this green function in order to describe this noisy evolution for qubits. And this green function has this, this expression. I don't want to enter into technical details, but just to give you an idea, we can use this definition for qubit operations. You know the block representation for a two-level quantum system, R is the block vector, and any qubit quantum operation can be written this way. Is a sort of a translation and the rotation of block vector in a block sphere. You have this parameter, capital t and capital T, and you have six parameters if you want to define any qubit quantum operation. You have a qubit interacting with another system, a generic system, quantum system, and the most general evolution is this one. In particular, if you satisfy these relations, you have the qubit channels with the qubit environment in a phase, in a pure state. They describe the interaction between a qubit and another qubit, and the environment initially is in a pure state. We can switch from the Schrödinger picture to the Heisenberg picture, or if you want, from the noisy evolution of the states to the noisy evolution of the operators by using this trace equality. And then we introduce this definition of Gaussian maps for qubits. A qubit Gaussian channel is a channel in which the output displacement operator is equal to the input displacement operator up to this linear transformation times a function of a Grassmann variable C. And this definition is similar to the bosonic one. For bosonic Gaussian channels, we have this transformation for the displacement operator. This evolution, in Schrödinger picture, it implies this evolution for the characteristic function. And in particular, if you satisfy these relations for the parameters of any qubit quantum operations, we have a Gaussian noise evolution for the characteristic function. This relation are satisfied. You have Gaussian qubit Gaussian maps as you can see according to this, this result. You can classify any qubit map according to this definition. We have some qubit maps are Gaussian, other ones are not Gaussian, and in particular, okay, the speed flip or the phasing channel is Gaussian, as you can see here. These ones are the Clausius operators, and these are the parameters in the block representation. And this is the evolution for the block sphere. And instead, on the other hand, the phase flip channel is not Gaussian. And we have, this evolution, actually we have to separate the even part of the displacement operator and the odd part of the displacement operator. The even part contains an even numbers of annihilation operators, and the odd part contains an odd number of annihilation operators. And this is the evolution for the block sphere. Now, let me consider the qubit maps, the qubit environment in a pure state. According to these requirements, any qubit channel is Gaussian. And in particular, you need two Clausius operators and two parameters, theta and phi. And, okay, these ones are the parameters in the block representation. And in particular, this is the evolution for the Cartesian function and for the displacement operator. And you can realize that this evolution is Gaussian. These are two particular examples of bit phase flip and the ampli-dummy channel. And this is the qubit channel that maps the initial state of the system to the final state of the system. We can build the qubit-qubit complementary channel that maps the initial state of the system to the final state of the environment. And in particular, it's enough to replace cosine phi to sin phi in order to obtain the complementary map. The complementary map is a Gaussian qubit-qubit map, as you can see in these expressions. Now, we repeat the same analysis done for the bosonic case. We have to verify these relations, and we have to find this intermediate map such that this decomposition rule is satisfied. And in particular, we verify that in this regime of the parameters theta and phi, we find this physical intermediate map, and we can conclude that any qubit-qubit map is divisible in this regime. Now I use the term divisible because I'm considering pure state for the environment. The intermediate map is another qubit-qubit map with this parameter theta x and phi x. In the opposite regime, the qubit-qubit maps with pure environment are anti-divisible. Or in other words, they cannot be used to transfer quantum information. And okay, and in this way, we confirm the results published in this paper, but we're using this Gassmannian approach. But by using our definition, we can generalize this analysis for mixed environment. And now we have to talk about a weakly divisibility. Now the environment is in a mixed state, P0, 0 plus 1 minus P, 1, 1. And the quantum, the qubit-qubit channel is this one. This is the initial state. This is the interaction U dagger. And you have to trace over the environment. If you trace over the system, you obtain the complementary map. Now we need four Clausius operators that have this expression. And again, we have that any qubit-qubit map or channel with a mixed environment is Gaussian, according to our definition. And in particular, we can construct, okay, the complementary map, but now the complementary map is not Gaussian, and the complementary map is not a qubit-qubit map with mixed environment. If you want to describe this complementary map, you need larger Hilbert space for the environment. Okay, basically technical point. I don't want to enter into technical detail. And the main result is the following. We prove again that any cubic-cubic map, but with mixed environment, is weakly degradable if you are in this regime, if this ratio is greater than zero. And this intermediate map has this expression, is another qubit map composed to a phase flip channel. In the opposite regime, we prove again that we cannot use the qubit maps in mixed environment in order to transfer quantum information, because we realize that by using a sort of bottleneck inequality, that the quantum capacity of this qubit channel is zero. And then again, we conclude that these qubit maps with mixed environment cannot transfer quantum information, and the quantum capacity is perfect zero. Let me conclude. We have proved that the bosonic Gaussian channels are either weak degradable or undegradable, and by using defining the qubit Gaussian channels by using this Gassmannian approach, we prove that the qubit channels are either weak degradable or undegradable, like in the bosonic case. And we can generalize this result for mixed environment, and this way we can generalize these results by considering a more complex situation in which the environment, for instance, is a Bose-Einstein condensate or a superconductor, and the system is a collection of spin. We can there are many possible generalization of this Gassmannian approach. You can combine these two formalism, and now we know how to generalize these results for D-level quantum systems, because up to now we have proved these decadability properties for qubits. But we found a new algebra such that we can generalize these results for any D-level quantum system. Okay, thank you for your attention. Yes? Gassmann algebra?
Yes.
Let me show one slide. This one is the Gassmann algebra. As you know, the fermionic operator satisfies this anti-commutation relation. You can map a two-level quantum system as a spin 1/2 system. And you can define these strange numbers called Gassmann variables that satisfy these anti-commutational relations. That's a strange number because the square of these numbers is perfectly zero. And it's these constraints are related to the fact that A squared is zero. For a fermionic operator, for a spin 1/2, we have the A squared is zero, and lambda squared is zero. If you want to introduce this, construct the coherent state. In the coherent state, there are, okay, the coherent states are the eigenstate of the annihilation operators. There are many equivalent ways for introducing these coherent states. But they are equivalent. You want to satisfy this relation, but you have this property because they are fermionic operators, and then C squared is equal to zero, and it's not possible with the complex numbers. Let's introduce these strange numbers called Gassmann variables. And okay, you impose these constraints. You can define the function of Gassmann variables, and this is the nice property. The most general function of one Gassmann variable is linear, because the higher terms are zero. And there are many strange properties. You can define the derivative. This is the derivative over respect to the t, and this t, but you can actually have to be careful because you can define the left derivative and the right derivative. And if t is an anti is another Grassmann variable, if you want to calculate the right derivative, you have to exchange the rules, the roles of these two Grassmann variables. But in this way, a minus sign appears. And then we have the left and the right derivative. You can define the integral, and there's another nice property, that the integral of a Grassmann function is equivalent to the derivative. This integral of a function is perfectly equivalent to the derivative. There are many nice properties. And we can define a delta function that satisfies a similar relation for Grassmann functions. And this way, you can construct the phase space representation as done in quantum optics, and we can define the Gaussian maps. This is the main idea. Yeah? Yeah. Let me take the slide. P is in the range 0, 1, yes. I consider any generic mixed state for the environment. P is a... Yeah, of course. Yeah, the results that do not depend on this choice. Yeah. Yes? You can characterize the Boolean transformation for? Yeah, but. Yes, the environment is a Gaussian state. Yes, because we want to analyze the bosonic Gaussian channels. And I have said that the bosonic Gaussian channels are bosonic channels with the environment initially in a Gaussian state. Yes, because, okay, let me. Here, this characteristic function is this product. If you take a Gaussian state for the environment, this characteristic function is Gaussian, is just a Gaussian. And now, if the input state is Gaussian, apart from these linear maps, you have a product of two Gaussians. And the output state is Gaussian. This is the reason. Actually, in our work, we generalize the definition given by David Akeshore for mixed environment because we think that in a more physical picture of the noise evolution, the environment is a mixed state, not a pure state. Thank you.